Welcome to the Bridging the Divide podcast. Each week, we'll explore the key factors that have contributed to today's economic divide, hear from experts and changemakers, and offer practical insights for aspiring entrepreneurs who are ready to break down barriers and inspire others. Join me as we navigate the challenges and opportunities for closing the economic gap, one conversation at a time. Hello. Welcome back to the Bridging the Divide podcast. I'm your host, Rolando Bonilla. So today we'll discuss something I hear every time I'm on the road. Sales. How do you get sales? Or in some instances, break down the idea that some things just sell themselves. They don't. You have to do that. You know, first and foremost, and again, I always start by saying this, these are my experiences within the industries that I have been privileged to be a part of. But in my mind, my experience, sales is something that undoubtedly is the differentiator between you being an idea and you being a business. Let me further explain. You all know, and some of you do it, those friends that talk about the business, they spend hours and days and months on the business plan. They can talk to you about the EBITDA. They'll talk to you about the different verticals. They'll talk to you about everything under the sun about this amazing business. And a lot of times they sound pretty cool. Won't lie to you. But then you never hear them talk about the most important part of the business. How to turn those great PowerPoints and, you know, discussions on business theory and verticals into an actual transaction. And you see, therein lies the big misnomer that I at least have seen is that from my vantage point, you aren't a business until you have a customer. Everything before that point is purely theoretical. You need to have customers and a methodology by which to obtain and maintain those customers. If you've listened to this podcast before, you will know that I'm a big believer in the idea of providing value. The idea that, you know, everyone looks at Facebook and Instagram and Apple and thinks that that's the way to market. And the reality is that's the way they market as massive publicly traded companies. The vast majority of us are not that. The vast majority of us are working within our own ecosystems to build something. That's not to say that you can't become that one day. They at one point weren't what they are today, and they eventually became that. But that is to say that you are not today. And because of that, you have to do everything in your power to, number one, have the confidence to not just talk about your business, but actually tell people what it is that your business does. And to me, what I have seen is that if you start in the most natural place, which is your own ecosystem, there are countless folks who at the very least would be interested in having that conversation and talking to you about the probability of your problem-solving solution or experience being something that they may want to incorporate into their lives. Now, some of you, I've heard this feedback many a times. Oof, I don't want to be an icky salesperson. I own a business and you know what we're doing is noble. Yeah, as noble as it may be, it's still going to need you getting customers. And it's still going to need for you, the need you're going to have is for those potential customers to not only trust you, because the trust part allows for them to listen to you, but for you to actually have something substantive to offer them. I remember, you know, when I was in law school, if you're my law school classmates, you know who you are. When I raised the conversation in law school, some folks would say to me, "Hey, you know, we're lawyers. We're practitioners of the law. That's what we do. We're not salespeople." Well, newsflash: the concept of billable hours literally explains to you that a large portion of what you do in the profession is sell your hours. In other words, you are a consultant who happens to sell the product of law. And the thing is, when you understand that, though, whether it's law, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a consulting business. When you understand that, then it makes the conversation a whole lot easier because you recognize that you do have to sell that product. And selling shouldn't have kind of that icky connotation that some folks give it. The way I look at it is I'm not selling. I am sharing something of value that helps society from my vantage point. So why not start selling that solution to a problem to my ecosystem? Why not, rather than selling, share, right? That idea, share that product, share that problem-solving opportunity, and give my ecosystem the chance to benefit from it. So, you know, if you don't get past that point, and I see this happen all the time, then what happens is you get stuck in this purgatory of, ooh, my idea is just not perfect yet, or ooh, my idea I just need a couple of more opportunities to meet with X and Y, and then at that point I may be able to go public. Well, the reality is you're not going to know what you have until you actually hit the field and start competing. You know, I know for me, when I started, the concept of the company wasn't ripe. It wasn't perfect. There was a lot of failure. I remember that my then business partner and I, we went through a period where we were having difficulty really getting our feet under us. And I remember we went to Palo Alto, the heart of the Silicon Valley, right? And I remember saying, if massive tech companies can be born here, why not a small consultancy as well? And you know, the idea and the conversation at that point became one of, this product isn't going to sell itself. As cool as we think we are, given all the, you know, press coverage that we were getting at the time, as cool as we thought we were, people weren't just going to, you know, run to our office and say, it's you. You are the solution to all my problems, and we want to hire instantly. That's just not how it works. Well, at least for most of us. The reality is that from that meeting, what came out was a plan that allowed for us to build out our network and allowed for us to really preach about the value of what we did at that time. And, you know, we were pleasantly surprised when people not only listened, but embraced what we had to say. And that was a really massive turning point and a lesson for me, which was that this product, as cool as I thought it was not the most important thing in the world to everyone else. So someone had to not just talk about it, but really had to be that brand ambassador, really had to live it, really had to go knock on those doors and get rejected. You know, I've been in this space for 15 years as a company, and I will tell you, rejection is such a normal part of my day. I don't take it personally. I understand that a no is a no at that time. I understand that a no sometimes turns into a yes when you further explain what you do. But it all begins with this concept of, I have to be the company's best brand ambassador. And now that I've, you know, in other spaces that I'm in, it's the same concept. I have to talk to people. I have to engage with people. I have to market, educate, and I have to love that. And so sometimes you have to also understand what your strengths are. For as much as you love what you do, maybe you're not that person. And you have to have an honest conversation with yourself about, maybe I need to partner with someone. And if partnership's not something you want to do, then you have to also ask yourself, what are the things I can do to be a better version of myself, to truly be that brand ambassador, to give this company, this restaurant, this idea, the best opportunity to grow and flourish? You know, I had a conversation with someone not too long ago starting a company, and their company was event planning. And you know, I remember thinking, that's a great business. It's a detail-oriented business. It's something that a lot of people need. And I thought it made sense for this person. But then when I asked that person how they were going to talk about their company, they kept referring to me to a constant contact email blast strategy that they had in mind. And I remember telling them, I mean, at this point, an email from you is random. They don't know who you are. They don't know what you're about. They don't know anything about your service. And sure, you may send out 1,000 emails and get one inquiry, but you're probably better strategically if you would focus your time and energy on actually talking to people within your ecosystem and introducing them to that business. And, you know, the response to that was, well, I'm not so sure that's the right approach. Okay, well, you're asking for advice. But then the follow-up is what really hit me. The follow-up was, because I don't want them, that person's network, to be offended by my pushing my product on them. Well, first of all, this is your network. Second of all, you're not pushing your product. You're sharing something that you think is of value that can help their life become a little better. You know, you never know. Birthday parties, corporate gatherings. People need help for this stuff all the time. But if you're not willing to even have that conversation with your ecosystem, and right off the bat, you're negotiating against yourself and not giving yourself the best opportunity to have those conversations, then the likelihood of your business succeeding, and by the way, I already said this in private to the individual, so there's, you know, this isn't going to be a letdown when they hear this, but it is low to none. Because if you can't talk to the people around you about what you're doing, then you sure as heck aren't going to be able to talk to everybody else. And you're also not going to create a level of energy and momentum if you can't get your base to start talking about you, to start hiring you, to start inquiring about you. How are you going to perfect that pitch if you're not even talking to people you're already comfortable with? You think that conversation is going to get better with someone you've never met in your life? Probably not. So to be successful in terms of developing that sales pipeline, you have to start, back to what I said in one of the earlier episodes, you have to start with what you have. Who's your network? Who are your folks? You know, not everyone has to be, you know, there's this notion that, oh no, my network isn't strong, but you don't know what's in your network. You don't know the capacity of your network. I remember when I started the East San Jose COVID Relief Fund, it was right after the pandemic. Businesses in East San Jose were being severely impacted at the time. City of San Jose was not stepping up. These businesses were feeling that pain. When I started that fund, fresh out of the hospital myself from COVID, I did not know what was going to be possible from a fundraising standpoint, but I did it. And within a short amount of time, we'd already raised a little over six figures, $20 donations, $100 donations, a lot of it from my ecosystem. Some of it from folks who saw the campaign on television and wanted to be helpful and would write checks for $10,000, $15,000. But the point I'm trying to make is you don't know what your network is capable of or willing to do unless you actually put them in a position where you can provide them the opportunity to provide your service, to provide your product, to make their life a little better. If you don't do that, then you're never going to know. And if you're never going to know, you're probably farther away from your goal, farther away from making it in a business. Because again, I'll say what I said earlier, if you're not willing to talk to your base, the reality is you're not willing to talk to someone you've never met. And if you can't practice and perfect that conversation with a base that you trust, then the reality is that your conversation with a stranger isn't going to work out because you're not really going to be in a place where you're having the natural ebb and flow that's required to make someone want to trust you and want to work with you. That's the other value of talking to your network. It's not just about, you know, that business opportunity, but it's also about you developing and growing that business conversation. So again, I say this because, you know, for some of you, you're sitting here listening. If you're still here, first of all, if you're still here, thank you. But for those of you that are listening, you're saying to me, hey, Rolando, that's obvious, right? Everyone understands that. If you, you know, if you don't have customers, you're not a business. Yeah, sure, it, you would think it's intuitive. But the reality is, very often, it's the last thing folks talk about because it's the part they're most afraid of, right? It's the part that has a lot of rejection attached to it. Rejection of your idea, rejection of you. It's the heartbreaking part too, right? There are situations where you reach out to folks who you thought you were close to and they don't even call you back. Ouch. Wait a minute. But I responded to you when, yeah, well, that happens, right? And all these fears get in people's heads and then stop them from, as a friend of mine says, living their best life and pursuing their goal and their dream. So to me, undoubtedly, sales, as common sense as you think it is also the biggest obstacle because folks don't want to do it. I cannot tell you how many times I have people tell me, oh, I just don't think that's the right market. Okay, that's fine. But why? Why is it not the right market? Is it not the right market because you have researched the market and realized that your product doesn't fit in that market? Is it not the right market because you're scared? Yeah, I said it. You're scared. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be afraid. What's not okay in the sales part, or actually in any part of building your business, is to allow for that fear to stop you from pursuing your passion, pursuing your goal. That's not okay, right? So to me, I can't tell you how many times I hear that. I can't tell you how many times I hear every, I'll say it, excuse under the sun about why something's not going to work. And then when you peel the onion one layer, you quickly realize this assumption is based on nothing more than assumptions. And these are assumptions that were driven by the fear of rejection. Yes, you have to sell. No, it is not an icky process. When done right, it is a process of, I'll use the phrase, market education, where you are sharing with this market, initiating with your own network, the value proposition you have. And that's it. That's it, right? If you believe enough in what you're doing, that market education conversation is an enjoyable one. You know, this podcast is an example of that for me, for example. Am I going to hit 1 million followers? Who knows? But do I enjoy this? Am I getting better after every show? I hope so. But I'm going to keep doing it, right? I'm going to keep doing it because I enjoy this. I enjoy sharing this information. It's a space that I am immersed in fully. I spend a lot of my time helping small businesses grow. Proud to have a lot of success stories out there. But at the same time, what's driving me is that I feel I've got a value proposition for you. And it's up to you to determine whether you think it's a value to you and if you want to take that value in. And if you don't, then hey, life goes on. That's okay. And if you do, great. This is why I'm doing it, right? So that's sales. That's 100% sales. It's tough, but I'll tell you this. Here's the best part. Once you accept that rejection is a part of it, once you accept that, you know, you shouldn't really put expectations on people. You should just put your product out there and kind of see where it goes. It actually makes the process that much more enjoyable. I, like I said, get rejected all the time. It doesn't bother me. Part of it, too, is kind of the way I've lived my life. But what does get me excited is when I am able to provide that value and folks are able to see it. And I see how it enhances their life and I see how it makes their experiences better. That's what gets me going. Or when, you know, folks I'm helping are doing the same with their customer base. And I see the success from accepting the fact that fear is okay, being paralyzed by that fear is not, and then getting over that fear and then seeing the positivity that comes. That's what gets me excited. And that's sales. Sales is that number one hill that a lot of folks don't want to rush up to. But when you cross over and you actually get that customer, now you're cooking with gas, right? Now you're a business. Now you can say you're an entrepreneur, right? Now you can say that you're providing value and you can work on making it better and you can work on expanding it. But again, providing that value. Because when you provide that value, starting with your own ecosystem, that value is something that folks won't forget. And that too is part of the sales process. When people start trusting you, when people start seeing that you not only kept your word about the value, but exceeded that word, they're going to be much more willing to share your name with others that they trust, who they want to experience the same value and positivity that they're experiencing. Now, You're really moving, right? Because now you've gotten over that fear. You have demonstrated through your work, through your talent, through your commitment, the value that you're providing. You've provided that value. And now your actions are also a part of the sales process because now people trust you. Now they want others to be a part of what you are a part of. And that, my friends, is really when you start seeing it all come together. So in a nutshell, right? Sales, you have to have it. It's got to be a frontal, you know, part of your conversation with yourself as you're developing this business plan. I tell folks a lot of times, and again, this is my take on it. When I look at these business plans, oftentimes I hear, you know, I see these percentages and, you know, I see these acronyms and verticals and this and that and this and that. And I go back to, okay, that's great. Sounds good. But how are you going to talk to people? How are you going to talk to people? Your brand is non-existent right now. So, marketing plan to get eyes on you, great. You'll get tons of eyes. But if people don't know what you do, people don't trust you, that may not turn into anything. And that's what we want to move away from, right? So focus on the sales. You're not selling your, you know, don't get that icky connotation out of your head. What you're doing is you're market educating. You are your own brand ambassador and you're excited about the value you're providing society and how your services or your experience are making life better for your ecosystem and their ecosystem. And before you know it, you have clientele. And before you know it, you're a trusted brand. And believe me, I've gone through these processes many times and I've always seen that to be true. So go out there. Go get it. Go get that sale. Build your company. There's nothing that stops you from this other than those thoughts in your head. Overcome them, and you've already done 90% of the fight. All right, my friends. Until next week, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the Bridging the Divide podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review, share with a friend, and give us a follow on all of our platforms. Special thanks to you for taking the time to listen today.